I'll do the Rambam's interpretation of the Akedah in the Moreh Nevuchim. Okay. So,
where's it at?
It's in chapter 24 in the Moreh, in the third book of the Moreh. Okay. Yeah. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that the objection, the doctrine of trial, I have no choice but to use Friedlander's translation. So otherwise I have to read the Hebrew and translate it. But it's not a very good one. I mean, I'm just telling you beforehand that especially in this chapter, it's not very good. But we'll try to, in spite of that, use it and try to get around the weaknesses of the translation. But he says like this, that the doctrine of trials is open to great objections. Okay, let's go to the next one. It is mentioned in Scripture, and he goes through all the cases where Nisayon is mentioned. I'm not going to do that. Just going to go through the one with the Akedah. Because the Akedah, he gives special place for. Okay? And it says, people have generally the notion that trials consist in afflictions and mishaps sent by God to man, not as punishments for past sins, but as giving opportunity for great reward. So that's a test. In other words, that God gives a person a very difficult, painful situation. And if he could rise to the occasion, he gets great reward. So that's the way most people understand a Nisayon, a test. Okay. So he says, so the Rambam says, in short, that that's against what the Torah says. Of course, he says the principle taught in Scripture is exactly the reverse. For it is said, he is a God of faithfulness, and there is no iniquity in him. Which is the pasuk is Kelamun Avein Oval, Tzadik V'Yashah. Okay, so apparently the Rambam held that's not a just system. In other words, for what is wrong? I mean, they're saying that you get a great reward. Saying God may give you a great difficulty, but if it's a challenging difficulty, and the objective is for the person to, in spite of the afflictions, to come out in the to emerge from it in the proper manner, and then he gets great reward. So what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that idea? I mean, it is. There is a justice there. I mean, he may have afflictions, but then if he's able to succeed and to overcome his emotions and do the proper thing, so then he gets a great reward. So what is wrong? What is Ram hold that that's no good? So the answer is, anyway.
No, it seems that the objective is.
But basically, no, you're right. I mean, you're right. That to say that if he doesn't pass the test, then he just suffers for nothing. Yeah, but see, the main idea thinking the Rambam is that would be an imperfection on the insofar as the Creator. That to say that he creates a being that in order to gain the good has to go through suffering. See, that is not that's not kelamun of ein oval. You see, ein oval means there's no defect. That would be a human being could do something like that, and you'd say he's a fine person because he's limited. So you could say he had no other choice but to put this person through a difficult situation in order to give him something. But for the Creator of the universe, that's a defect because it means that he made a creature. And this creature, the only way he can benefit this creature is by affliction. That in order to benefit the creature, he has to impose afflictions on the on the afflictions on a person. That's a lack in the that's a lack in perfection. That's what the Rambam means. That's why he quotes the pasuk Elamud Venov. Okay, that's basically what he's saying is, insofar as the Creator is concerned, that is a lack. And one is not allowed to ascribe even the minutest lack to God. And that's it's a great defect for a person to do that. That's what the Rambam is very very opposed to that concept. But he says, nevertheless, there are problems. Okay. Just let me. So what is the concept? So the question is, what is the concept of a nisayon? What is the idea of a nisayon? So the Rambam says like this. Yeah. That's what the Rambam says. Every intelligent person should have this faith and should not ascribe any wrong to God, who is far from it. He must not assume that a person is innocent and perfect and does not deserve what has befallen him. Okay, in other words, the only time that a person suffers afflictions is only because of something that he deserves, an onesh. But without an onesh, there can't be any affliction, because that would mean that God created a creature that it has to suffer in order to gain perfection. That's an imperfection. That's what the Rambam is saying. Okay. But now he says like this. He says, okay, yeah. So that's what Rambam says. Okay. That God would not make a creature that in order to attain perfection, he has to impose suffering on that creature for no reason at all. There's no deserve, the creature didn't deserve the suffering. Just, he must impose suffering in order for this creature to attain the good. That's not perfection. Okay, so we can't ascribe that to God. That's what he says. Then he goes on, he says, the trials mentioned in Scripture, in the six passages, six cases, seem to have been tests and experiments by which God desired to learn the intensity of the faith and the devotion of a man or a nation. He says, but when you look at a pshuto kamashmo, it sounds like a test. That God wanted to determine whether this person or people are on a certain level. He says to learn. That's what it seems like. If this were the case, it would be very difficult to comprehend the object of the trials. If you're going to say that, it's very hard. What's the objective? That God doesn't know, and yet the sacrifice of Isaac seems to be a case of this kind, as none witnessed it but God and the two concerned, Abraham and Isaac. So it seems to be, there's nobody else witnessing it, so it seems to be that it has only one purpose, and that is for God to determine, but that would imply that God lacks the knowledge. Thus God says to Abraham, for now I know that you fear God. In another passage it is said, for it's not the best. I don't want to go on the other page because he has six cases. Then he says like this. He says he comes back to the Akedah, which is really what we are concerned with. And he says, the account of Abraham, our father, binding his son, includes two great ideas or principles of faith. You see, first of all, he puts down a general rule. He says, I will now remove all the difficulties. The sole object of all trials mentioned in Scripture is to teach man what he ought to do or believe. Okay. So he says, in other words, how does he answer the problem? So that the event which forms the actual trial is not the end desired. It is but an example for our instruction and guidance. Okay. So he says, in other words, he says, pshuto kamashmo is right. It is an experiment. But the experiment is for us. The experiment is to teach man something. It's an experiment in the eyes of man. Okay. It's a case where man derives something from it. learn something from it. And then he gets into the particular. He goes into other cases, but what I want to do is the Akedah. So look at this. The account of Abraham, our father, binding his son, includes two great ideas or principles of our faith. Okay? First, it shows us the extent and limit of the fear of God. Okay, limit is not the correct word. But he means the extent. Okay. Abraham is commanded to perform a certain act, which is not equaled by any surrender of property or by any sacrifice of life, for it surpasses everything that can be done and belongs to the class of actions which are contrary to human feelings. In other words, it's more difficult, he's saying, than a person giving his own life or giving away everything that he's sacrificing his life or giving away anything he owns. Okay? All right, this is like this. He says, he had been without a child and had been longing for a child. He had great riches, and there's something missing, and also great cover. It was in the original Russian. He was very wealthy and he had great cover, and was expecting that a nation should spring from his seed. Interesting thing. He says, after all hope of a son had already been given up, a son was born to him. How great must have been his delight in the child. How intensely must he have loved him. And yet, because he feared God and loved to do what God commanded, he thought little of that beloved child and set aside all his hopes concerning him and consented to kill him after a journey of 3 days. Okay, so what is the Rambam saying? He says, yeah, interesting thing, how he sets up the account of the Akedah. What he says is that you can't start from the Akedah, but you have to start from before the Akedah. But it's an interesting thing. You see, what is he saying? That he loved his child very much. I mean, everybody loves their child. But what Rambam is saying, there's something more here. He's saying there's something more here. So what is more that the Rambam is saying, what he's saying is like this. He's saying that an attachment to an object is strongest when the person has a great desire for it, and then he gives up on it, and then he attains it. Okay? That makes the object even, the attachment even greater. That he had a desire for the object, had a desire for a child, and a tremendous longing, and then he finally gave up. And then he attained, then he received it. So the value that it has was augmented and was magnified to a tremendous degree, much more than if the person would simply receive a child in the normal path of things. So that's what Rambam is saying. That's one thing he's saying. What? That's the way, that's a psychological phenomenon. You know, the desire was there, went through an intense pain of giving it up, and then he attained it. So the emotional attachment to that thing is far greater than if the person would have received it in the normal course of things, you see. Because his emotions have gone through tremendous permutations until he got this thing. The thing has tremendous value, great value. So, yeah, so... So that's one thing. That's from the psychological aspect. But the Rambam mentions also, he says that he was expecting that a nation should spring from his seed, you see. And that's another element that he brings in. Another element that he mentions. And why does he mention that? Because, you see, the thing is, and I think we one time mentioned this by Yosef, We said that the Tirgum Unkelah says by Yosef, ki ven zakunim hulo, ki bar hakim hulo. So what does it mean, bar hakim? It means that Yaakov Avinu could not just love his child if he was an ignoramus. I mean, he'd have a normal love for him. Wouldn't have no love for him. It's his child. But when his son was a chacham, he saw that he was a tremendous chacham. So the psychological realm becomes much more strongly attached, and the love of the child becomes intensified. So the emotion of the love, where there's a rational accompaniment to it, the emotion is intensified tremendously. That's what the Rambam is saying over here. He's saying that it wasn't just that he received the son that he longed for, but this son was supposed to be the progenitor of Dori Doros, and Avraham Avinu appreciated that. That was his whole work. So the son was tied up with the most powerful emotion, with the most powerful framework, you see, because it was a framework of chachma and a framework of what his whole life was about, and his understanding of tikkun olam and mekadesh shem shamayim, kiddush Hashem, and his understanding of these great principles and his love for the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. So this became tied in with the love of his son. So the Rambam saying is that again doubly intensifies the love for his son, because the avos were human beings and they were psychological people. They also had emotions, but the emotions they weren't emotionless. They had emotions, and the emotions were very intense. But the emotions followed a framework. But when that framework was there, the emotion is even stronger, because it's not just a mere emotion, but it's tied in with chachma and with the whole concept of kiddush mar gadol. So the intensity of the emotion is again augmented and magnified more than in a normal person. Avram's ava for Yitzchak, the Rambam is saying, was greater than the normal ava that a father has for a son, because Yitzchak was tied up with kiddush Hashem and the combination of those elements created the most intense love and emotion for Yitzchak. That's what the Rambam is saying. It's binchas yichidcha she'ahavta. It's a different kind of ava, a much greater ava than a normal person would have, because it's tied in with his whole essence of his existence in a higher plane, in a higher sphere, and that higher sphere itself draws more emotion. It's a different kind of ava. That's what the Rambam is explaining. That's why he says it would have been far easier for Avraham Avinu to give up his life. It would have been far easier to give up his life than to give up Yitzchak. Okay. Yeah. So the Rambam goes on. He says like this. He says, in spite of that, he says, he still served God and was willing to kill a son. Now he says like this. Yeah. Set aside all his hopes and consented to kill him after a journey of 3 days. Now the Rambam goes into the journey of 3 days. Why is it 3 days? So the Rambam's like this. If the act by which he showed his readiness to kill his son had taken place immediately when he received the commandment, for 1 or 3 days, he says it might have been the result of confusion and not of consideration. Okay? I'm going to stick exactly to the translation of it. It says, but the fact that he performed it 3 days after he had received the commandment proves the presence of thought, proper consideration, and careful examination of what is due to the divine command, and what is in accordance with the love and fear of God. This is a bad sentence. There's no necessity to look for the presence of any other idea. What he means over here is, that there was nothing else that he looked at or of anything that might have affected his emotions, meaning that he didn't, there were no other emotions involved in doing it. Okay? For Abraham did not hasten to kill Isaac out of fear that God might slay him or make him poor, but solely because it is man's duty to love and to fear God, even without hope of reward or fear of punishment. We have repeatedly explained this. Okay. So the Rambam says now, he says that the 3 days, why the 3 days? Because the 3 days, if he would have done it right away, the tzivu, he would have received the tzivu and he would have immediately responded. So then you'd say he did it out of confusion. Okay. But so the 3 days, he had a chance to really think over everything carefully. Okay, and he did it out of consideration. Okay. So he says he didn't do it because of, fear that God's going to do something bad to him, harm him, if he doesn't follow the command. Okay. So he says, the angel therefore says to him, for now I know, ki ata yadati, that is, from this action for which you deserve, from this action for which you deserve to be truly called a God-fearing man, all people shall learn how far we must go in the fear of God. Okay. So it's not that I'm just twisting the pasuk, but he's not. Ki ata yadati ki yirei elokim ata. Ata doesn't mean a chronological ata. It's not a time ata. You see? Ata means now that you have demonstrated that how far you went, you were willing to go in spite of the unbelievable emotional difficulties. Now meaning, it's interesting, Rashi says the same shot. Rashi says me'ata. It's not ata, it's me'ata. Rashi is also the same shot. Doesn't mean ata chronologically, now I know, as if before God didn't know. It means, ata means me'ata. And what does yadati mean? So yadati, the Rambam says, means that from this action for which you deserve to be truly called the God-fearing man, all people shall learn how far we must go in the fear of God. See? Ki ata yadati, so it means, yadati means that is, when we say God's yadia, it's not like a human being, like the Rambam says, a human being is huva daita shnayim. So it means that he gains knowledge and the knowledge affects him. So it's a process, you see. So you say, now he has knowledge, before he didn't have knowledge. So the knowledge and him are two different things. But in God, he's echad, he's one. So yadati has no meaning as it does in our case, in humans. Yadati means that is the reality. Say God knows, it means this is the reality. Kiata yadati. From what you did, the reality is clear. Of course, we say when God knows, it means that's the ultimate reality. So kiyata yadati means now that you went this far, the reality is clear that you are this person. You are this great God-fearing person. See, that's what the Rambam is saying. And what is the purpose of it? The purpose is that others should know. Okay? Yes?
Doesn't this contradict what you said before?
What I said before.
Because
okay. All that question. but I want to first understand what Rama is saying, okay? So that's what he's saying. Kiyata yadati means now it... No. That's a secondary process. That will happen. I'll explain in a minute. But in the meantime, yadati means that it is true. It is real. Yadias Hashem means ki yadati. What does it mean, ki yadativ? It means, when it says God knows, it means that's the reality. Okay. So once that reality is established, now all people will learn how far they must go in the fear of God. He says, yes.
God knows.
It's now this is a reality, which means that the reality, meaning by a reality, it means that a reality means a demonstrable reality, a reality that will become known to others. Okay, so that's what in other words, Dati doesn't mean that Ati Dati chronologically, now he knows, he didn't know before, but from what you have done, the reality emerges, the true reality emerges, that you are this kind of a person. Okay, because when it says Yadati, what it means is that this is a reality before God. And this reality is one which is a reality that can be manifested, a manifest reality. Now it's a manifest reality before God. Okay, so therefore it has the implication that this will become known to others. In other words, it's not that God knows, you see. It's that this has become, you as an individual have brought about a manifest reality of what a God-fearing person is. Okay, because as I said, in God, when you mention God's idea, it means a reality. Okay, what kind of a reality? In this case, it is not simply a reality in terms of the internal Avram, but it's a reality that has become manifest. Okay, so now the reality of how he fears God is a manifest reality. Okay, so that's the way the Rambam is interpreting. Excuse me. Now he says like this. Ram goes on and says, this idea is confirmed in Scripture. It is distinctly stated that one sole thing, fear of God, is the object of the whole law, with its affirmative and negative precepts, its promises and its historical examples. For it is said, in lo sishmo lasos es kol divrei Torah zos eksuvim ha-sefer hazeh, liyiros Hashem ha-nichbod va-nor hazeh eser Hashem alekecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu sums up and says that's the whole objective of Kol HaTorah. So he says that was one of the purposes of the Akedah. That was one of the purposes of the Akedah. Then he says there's another purpose. Second purpose, he says, is to show how the prophets believed in the truth of prophecy. He says, we shall not think that what the prophets heard or saw in allegorical figures may at times have included incorrect or doubtful elements, but maybe they were doubtful about Nevuah. It says, since the divine communication was made to them, as we have shown, in a dream or a vision and through the imaginative faculty. That's the vehicle of Nevuah. Scripture tells us, that whatever the prophet perceives in a prophetic vision, he considers as true and correct and not open to any doubt. It is in his eyes like all other things perceived by the senses or by the intellect. It's absolutely true. This is proved by the consent of Abraham to slay his only son, whom he loved, as he was commanded, although the commandment was received in a dream or a vision. So he says, if the prophets had any doubt or suspicion as regards the truth of what they saw in a prophetic dream or perceived in a prophetic vision, they would not have consented to do what is unnatural. It means what is impossible through the emotions. And Abraham would not have found in his soul strength enough to perform that act. He simply couldn't do it. He wouldn't have done it, and he couldn't do it. Because since it's doubtful, so he wouldn't have the force of his intellect behind it, and he wouldn't be able to do that. So he wouldn't have strength enough to perform the act, if he had any doubt as regards the truth of the commandment. It was just the right thing that this lesson... Now he goes on. So that's the second thing. So he taught two things. How far one should fear God. And also that prophecy, the prophet believes in his prophecy. It was just the right thing that this lesson derived from the Akedah should be taught through Abraham and a man like, and this is wrong, not a man like Isaac, through Avram and Yitzchak. This is wrong, absolutely wrong translation. Through Avram and Yitzchak. I mean, a man like, it was Avram. For Abraham was the first to teach the unity of God, to establish the faith in him, to cause it to remain among coming generations, and to win his fellow men for his doctrine. As scripture says of him, I know him that he will command. Okay, he dat to the manashe yitzava, that he's the one that that teaches the, as one of his base, he's the one that first one to teach the true ideas of God. Okay. In the same manner as he was followed by others in his true and valuable opinions, just like others followed him in his opinions, in his true opinions, when they were heard from him, when he spoke to them, so also the principles should be accepted that may be learnt from his actions, especially from the act by which he confirmed the principle of the truth of prophecy and showed how far we must go in the fear and the love of God. That's basically what the Rambam says. So therefore, says he was the right person because he was the one that discovered the unity of God, and he taught this to all people, so it was right that the Kedah should be by him. Okay. So he says, this is the way how we have to understand the accounts of trials, and he sums it up. He says, okay, and then he mentions that it's, that one must not think that God desires to examine us and try us in order to know what he did not know before. He says he is far above that which ignorant and foolish people imagine concerning him in the evil of their thoughts. Okay, he calls that evil because that's really, it's derech avodah zarah. So that's evil. Yeah. So what I always say is, what is the Rambam saying? It sounds like a rather simple, simplistic type of explanation. But the Rambam talks an awful lot here. There's an idea behind it, a significant idea. Like, first of all, what are the two things? He says the two things. One thing is how far a person should go in the fear of God. And the second thing is the truth of prophecy. I mean, why do you throw that in? I mean, why does he just throws that in because it just happens to be there? I mean, and what if truth of prophecy learned from somebody else? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu, he sounds like he just put it in there, you know what I mean? Yeah, okay, when he's explaining the trials, we say that he has to explain. But then he throws in prophecy as well. You see, what's the raya that's the purpose of prophecy? Maybe it really is the, maybe it's just the first thing, just the trials. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Are you saying that Avram had...
So, yeah. But if you look carefully at the Rambam, and also, why did it have to be through Avram? The Rambam's saying it had to be through Avram. And moreover, there's another thing we have to understand here, is, why did Avram Avinu himself do it? You can't say he did it simply to show. I mean, that is, what is it? He must have had some purpose, some idea, and why he's being Makriv Yitzchak, to understand the Tzivui Hashem. Okay? Then it was revealed later that God said that this will be for, a testament for everybody. But what was his idea when he went, you see? Why did he think he's going? He thought he was really going to be to actually mock him. So that also needs explanation.
Why couldn't he even think the same thing?
Larry?
Yes.
Toby.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's the people ask that question. At the other, why was that such a big deal? The others all did that. Yeah.
In that context of his life.
See, the thing is like this. The Rambam says, so this was a demonstration. And the Rambam says something interesting about the demonstration. He says like this.
Ready?
Yes, yeah.
Just one thing. How did it
That's a good question. Nobody's there. Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good question. Nobody's there. But it had to be a rational tzivui. See, it had to be a rational tzivui. It can't just be a tzivui for the sake of showing doing something crazy. How crazy a person could be, that's an insane idea. So...
what's wrong with
these reasons? Anyway, I picked anything. It's a silly thing. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. If you look at the Rambam, you see the Rambam says also, another thing is, yeah, no one else was there. That's correct. And also the Rambam says like this. He says that he performed the act not because, not out of fear. You see, for Abraham did not hasten to kill Isaac out of fear that God might slay him or make him poor. Okay, so how do you know that? Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was afraid. He was afraid he wouldn't follow Tzivui Hashem. So how does that show it? How does that demonstrate it? You see? What? Yeah, because maybe he was afraid. You're trying to show that he did it, how great he was. And maybe he had fear. I thought God said to him, Alei Lo, he's afraid. He doesn't listen to Tzivui Hashem. It's not going to be good. You're astonished. You see? But with the Rambam, I think and also the other questions. Why? How does the Rambam know that it's because Nevuah as well? It's outside of the realm of the trial itself. And then, what does he mean when he says it's right for that Avram Avinu should be the one? Avram Avinu. Somebody else could do it also. Why is it Avram Avinu? You see, what the Rambam means is like this. The Rambam means that the Akedah has to be. You have to understand what the objective of the Akedah was. See, for the Rambam, it had a different objective, the Akedah. But the Rambam is telling you that in order to understand the Akedah, you have to understand Avram Avinu himself before. You can't start with the Akedah. That's what the Rambam mentions. How we waited for Yitzchak and the whole history of Yitzchak and Kib Yitzchak Karel Chazora. And then once you realize how powerful that emotion is, you realize it's the most unbelievable thing you could do. He says, then you can start to understand the Akedah. But before you understand the Akedah, not only that do you have to know, but you have to know other information about Avram Avinu. Namely, and that's what the Rambam's alluding to over here, when he says it wasn't out of fear. What the Rambam means is what the Rambam wrote in the Yad HaChazaka, where the Rambam says that in Perek Asiri Halacha Beis, Ha'oved ne'ava osik v'tarb mitzvahs v'holech ben sivas ha'chachma lo mitnei dovar ba'olam v'lo mitnei yiras ha'ra v'lo kidei lirash ha'tova ela osa emes m'nei shu emes v'sof ha'tova lova b'glova u'mayla zu hi mayla gedola ma'od v'ein kol chacham zochala. That means that he has no ulterior motive. He's not afraid of anything happening to him. He's not looking forward to something good coming out of it. He has nothing. That is not the derech. It's like Ram says before, that a person that serves God because of fear or because of a desire for gain, ain roy lavar Hashem al derech hazeh. So what does he mean? He means that the really perfected person never takes into consideration these things, whether he's going to receive harm or not going to receive harm. You see? Because that is completely out of his framework. It's not that he has it in the back of his mind, that if I do, I'm doing it for a logical reason, but I also know that I don't want to get harmed. I don't want to receive an anish, you see. Now, that's not the real level of perfection. The real perfected individual does not look at all in terms of harm or good. It's out of his sight completely. It's out of his realm of thinking. That is not the way he functions. His eye is only on one thing. It's only on the good, on what is the truth, and that's it. The other things are not considerations. They don't enter his mind at all. Zero. Okay. So that's what the Rambam says, that this is Maila Gedolo Yadmod. It means he has, there's no other consideration whatsoever. No other benefits, whether they're physical or emotional or any kind of fear of any kind of harm, physical or emotional. It's not in the realm of his mind and his existence. He simply doesn't think about that, okay? The only thing he's concerned with is whether it is true and good or whether it isn't. That's his only concern, but only is very, very important over here, okay? So The Rambam, that's what the Rambam says. When he says lo mipnei davar goyim, it doesn't mean as an adjunct. He means it's completely excluded. Elohu samus neshiyamas. That's the only thing he's concerned with. He's only concerned with when he has to make a decision. His only question is it true or is it not true? Is it good or is it not good? That's his only. Am I in reality? Am I not? That's the only concern. His own personal harm is not in the realm of his thinking. That's why the Rambam says it's a maila gadol ma'od. Vein kol chacham zohalo. Person be a great chacham, but he doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be zochet to this. And then he says, "V'imaylas Avraham Avinu." That is Avraham Avinu. Okay, Shekara Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ovo, Lefi Shelo Ovad Ella Me'Avo. Okay, Ella. That's the only concern. So the Rambam is saying is like this: that Avraham Avinu was the one. He was the rational person. He was the greatest chacham. And everything, what he taught the world was that a person should not do things because of fear of harm or because of potential gain, but a person should really just do things because of the truth. That is the only concern that a person should have, and he would teach the people how to think and would show them how everything is just chachma. And everything is just based, and that's the only basis that a person should do things. And whether a thing is good or whether a thing is not good has to be determined completely through one's intelligence and through one's mind. And once he sees it, then of course he can only do that which is true. He has no choice. Otherwise he has to face the fact that he's not in reality. He has no interest in reality. So the chachma of Avraham Avinu was... That was his whole essence. And his essence was not simply to teach a person to look for the truth, but also that the other things are unimportant, that a person should not be concerned at all with harm. And you see, in his life, he wasn't concerned about personal harm, and he escaped through an ace from more constant. So he taught the people that the only thing a person should be concerned about is whether a thing is true or whether it's not. Whether his soul is existing in a state of emes or it's not existing in a state of emes. And if it's not, then there's no good that could make up for it. And if it is, then there's no harm that could take it away. Because that life which is involved in the truth is life. And even if the person should not continue to exist momentarily afterwards, at least what he existed was real. But if he's not in the world of reality, so then there is no compensation that could make up for it because his existence is nil. So insofar as he's lacking in the essence of existence, there's no compensation that could compensate for that, you see. So the only thing that a person has to be concerned with is simply whether he's existing in line with truth and his existence is real or whether it's not. Harm doesn't come into the picture. Harm doesn't play any role, you see. So because the essential consideration is whether a human being is living in reality or he's not living in reality. That consideration is his whole essence. So you can't make up for an essence. You follow? In other words, you can't say that you'll take away from this essence and you get a compensation. That's totally nonsensical. You see? That's what Avraham Avinu taught. And that's how we lived. Yes. I don't mean a person to be a fool and not and expose himself needlessly to danger. That's not what we're talking about. That's on the contrary, as living without chachma. Because a person is a tzelem elokim. And because somebody else is a fool, he shouldn't destroy his essence. I mean, that's all equally foolish. But that's because it is not intelligent to destroy a tzelem elokim because somebody is an idiot, and he is not living in reality. But that's again a rational thing. That's again because that is rational, and a person has to live according to rational, not because he's afraid of personal harm, but because that is the rational thing. It doesn't make any sense. So it doesn't make any sense for him. It doesn't make any sense for anybody else. So you don't destroy a valuable, something valuable, because another individual is foolish. So Avraham Avinu didn't say that you should tell, you must tell every truth to every fool and be destroyed. That's nonsensical. But the reason why he did it was because Chachma dictates that this is what should be done. Not because of a personal harm, but because that's what Chachma dictates, that God created the universe, and he created man, and man is an important creature, v'tchasreya mi'at me'alihim. So this important creature, this Tzelem Elokim, should not be destroyed. I mean, unless it's God's will that his life is taken away. But it is all in line with Chachma. Everything he did was in line with Chachmas Hashem. It was not based on his fears, his personal fears. It was based on what does the Chachma dictate. And his whole philosophy was that if a person lives in that life, then he's truly existing. And there's nothing that can compensate for existence. So he had a very simple formula. You see, his formula was Chachma, reality, and truth in terms of how a human being should exist. This was his essence. See, that's Oved Ne'ava. So he was known to others. He was known to others as the most rational person that exists. The person of Chachma. Okay? So what the Rambam is saying, you see, that's why the Rambam says that the importance in the parsha of Bayom HaShlishi, of 3 days, because since he was known to be a total Chacham, and everything about him was Chachma, so if he would have received the tzivui and would have acted, responded immediately, so people could say that he's a great Chacham, but even a Chacham needs time to think. A Chacham is not a person that he could be stunned. I mean, he's overcome emotionally, but an Avraham Avinu with days, a Chacham like that, with days to think about it, it is clear that his performance was just as he always did, just purely on Chachma, based on Chachma. Okay? It was not based on any emotion. If he would have responded immediately, they'd say, yeah, it was an emotional reaction. You could have an emotional reaction in a positive way. A religious emotional reaction. He's just, now I have to follow, you see? That would be bad. Because that would teach people that the way to serve God is through emotions, you see? That's what the Rambam is saying. That if he would have responded immediately, so you would think on the contrary, immediately is better. No, immediately is worse. Why? Because then people would think that Yiras Hashem is an emotional phenomenon. See, Yiras Hashem is an emotional phenomenon. It's like a religious type of a phenomenon. It's a religious phenomenon. So he responds immediately. He's overcome emotionally. See, the reason why the Akedah was 3 days was to demonstrate to people that Yiras Hashem is no different than any other Chachma and any other reality. And Yiras Hashem is simply based on a recognition of reality. And it's not based on anything else. And even the most difficult, challenging thing that any human being can do, one would say, what is the most difficult thing a human being can do? Give up his life. But the Torah says no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. With Avram, there's one thing even greater, and that is Yitzchak. So it was an action that was even greater than giving up his life, giving up his own life, which is the greatest thing that a person normally can do. Nevertheless, the way he did it was without any kind of emotional accompaniment, but purely it was done out of the fact and the realization that chokhma and reality simply dictate that this is what has to be done. So he demonstrated. The demonstration was that Yiras Hashem is not a phenomenon of an emotional kind of a religious kind of an action, but Yiras Hashem is really nothing more than chachma, and just like Avraham Avinu always carried out his whole life based purely on chachma, his service to God was on the exact same plane, and there was no admixture of anything else in it but pure chachma. So he was the one that set the whole idea of what Yiras Hashem really is. And that's what the Rambam says, and Yiras Hashem is called HaTorah Kula. So therefore, this was the most important thing that could be done. This was the most significant thing that could be done. Yes?
Why is this...
The reason why it's framed in terms of Yiras Hashem and not Avas Hashem is Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are really two sides of one coin. But the Avas Hashem is that he's drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of Chachmas Hashem, and because of his desire for Yedias Hashem, Yedias HaChachma. That's why he's drawn. But in that process, he realizes his own insignificance. He said, Bria Shfela Vafela. The process renders him Afavefer, you see. So when it's talking about Chachma, Redifas HaChachma, person's running after Doresh Chachma, so then the Torah, then Avas Hashem will be the proper side of the proper side of the coin. But where an individual is acting in a way where he's doing a performance that one would normally not be able to do, and the only reason he could do it is because of his Yedias Hashem, then it's because of the recognition of his place in reality in the universe, and that he's off of Efer, and therefore God's Tzivui demands that he act in reality according to the Tzivui. You see, that's why it's Yiras Hashem. But really, it's two sides of the same thing. But this is the aspect of Yiras being manifest. So really, what the Rambam is saying is that Avraham Avinu, the man who taught the ideas, and the man who taught the Chachmas Hashem, he was the one that must also show, was the perfect one to show what Yiras Hashem is. And that Yiras Hashem is not an emotional response to God's Tzivui. And it's not something that a person does out of a different, he's Moser Nefesh, Mesiras Nefesh is not out of a different frame of reference in human nature. But Mesiras Nefesh really has to be the same logical, rational act that a person would do anything else with. Because everything is simply based on Chachma, and there is no such thing as an adjunct of a different force that is an intrinsically virtuous force, like a new virtuous force is here. Ordinarily people think, well, guy's a chacham, he's a talmud chacham, he has ideas, and when he's learning, he's one person. But when he does mitzvahs, then there's a different force that's propelling him, a different kind of an element in his nature that's propelling him. And that's what the Rambam is saying, that Avraham Avinu was the man completely of ideas and chachma, and that was the only thing that moved him. And therefore, he was the one that had to show, and that could show, the world, what Yiras Hashem is. Now, Yiras Hashem is something that operates the same way. 3 days. He's the Chacham, and everybody knows that he only does things out of Chachma. And he has 3 days to think about it, and he analyzes everything, and he thought it through, and he saw that this is what Chachma dictates, and he acted in accordance with it, just like his whole life. Just like the ideas that he taught people all his life. That's a different Yiras Hashem, a different kind of Yiras Hashem. You see, So he was the one that had to teach that idea. He was the one that had to teach that idea. Yes. Okay. Now the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, so Avraham Avinu was really the only person that could really teach Yiras Hashem. If somebody else did a mitzvah, they have other motivations. Other forces, other elements in their nature would be responsible for the results. But with Avraham, it couldn't be, because his whole essence was Chachma. So therefore, he taught the world that Yiras Hashem is nothing more than complying with Chachma like one always does. You see? That's actually Moshe Rabbeinu said that also. He says, "Mordeh Hashem alakecha dorish meimcha kiim liyiras at Hashem liyavaso v'leches bedrachav." It means it's nothing. That's simply reality. What kind of a request is that? It's unreasonable request. That's reality. But Avraham Avinu was the one that taught it. Indeed, in action, he taught it. He taught that concept. You see. And now the Rambam says like this. Now the Rambam says that he also taught something else. What he taught was he dispelled false notions with regard to prophecy. Because in the area of prophecy, people also have different attitudes. And they think that prophecy is under an influence, there's influences, and there's different forces, and the individual who acts according to a prophecy is in a different world, a different realm, a supernatural realm, and they project onto it all the mystical attributes. And this becomes an out-of-this-world type of experience and phenomenon, and that's where they place it in their mind, you see. Rambam says that's a very bad thing, because that's not what Nevuah is. So it's not what Nevuah is. So Nevuah, that's what he says, Avraham Avinu, who was the greatest Chacham, and everything was analysis, and everything was Chachma, if he had the slightest doubt about this perception that he received through his dream, through the imaginative faculty, he was the most rational person. He would immediately break it down and say, look, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. He would never act according to it. Because his whole life was simply pursuit of Chachma. So therefore you see that since he acted after deliberation, careful deliberation, it wasn't an emotional response. You cannot, knowing Avraham, say that after three days, he was under the influence of any emotion. So you see that Nevuah to him was just as real as a person's senses. That's what Ram says. He says, and Abraham would not have found in his soul, he says, the prophet receives a prophetic vision he considers as true and correct and not open to any doubt. It is in his eyes like all other things perceived by the senses or by the intellect. That means it's completely rational. He does not respond to a nevuah in any other way. There is no other element in his nature that causes him to respond. Just the same method of analysis and chachma that he uses in every other sphere, he knows, his knowledge tells him that this is true. That this is true. So it's a different perception of chachma. You see, a different perception of chachma through nevuah. But it's chachma, you see. Nevuah can give a person different chachma, but the nature of the underlying phenomenon and the way the individual receives it is no different than something that is real, the reality. There is no supernatural reality to it, you see. That's what Avraham Avinu established. He was the only one that could establish it, you see, because he was the individual whose whole essence was Chachma, and to be moved only by one thing, only by Chachma. So he taught the world that Nevuah also must be stripped in your mind of any kind of surrealism, as if it is any less real than something that we know through our senses or through our intellect. There's no such thing like that. It is exactly the same. It's identical. The source and the knowledge is knowledge that you couldn't attain without Nevuah, but the perception of what Nevuah is just the same reality as we perceive other realities. There's no adjunct, no other element that enters into the picture in terms of the Navi. Navi doesn't become moved by different forces, you see. So he was the one that could establish Nevuah and could place Nevuah on a rational plane. Nobody else could do it. That was really what Avraham Avinu did, you see. And the influence, that influence is extremely important. That's why the Rambam says that it is appropriate that the one who taught the ideas and taught the whole Derech HaChaim, that everything is Chachma, he was the one, he was the only one and the correct one that to teach through his actions that this is real, that Yiras Hashem is a reality. It's not an extraneous phenomenon. Nevuah is a reality. It's not a supernatural kind of a thing that has a different realm of reality to it. It's just as real as anything that an individual sees with his senses or ascertains with his intelligence, you see. In other words, the effect on people from Avraham Avinu's Akedah, from the Akedah, had a completely different kind of effect because it gave the people the correct category into which to place these elements, Yiras Hashem and Nevuah, and not to place them into areas that have to do with emotions and that defy and deny the Tzelem Elokim. But on the contrary, the Tzelem Elokim this is simply the result of a great Chacham, and the perception is based on Chachma. You'll see, even in the world, you'll see there's a big difference. If somebody says something is true because they're a religionist or a mystic, there's a different kind of, even if you would say something that's true, in reality, it is different than if scientists say that it's true. You see, scientists say that it's true, people know it's true. And they understand what the realm and the framework is. If the mystic would say that it's true, even if he'd happen to be right, and sometimes a person can be right, even though he's not a chacham, if he says something that's true. But the way the people perceive it is in a different realm of the mind. The conviction that's attached to it is of a different nature. You see, it's a different kind of conviction. That is bad. If that kind of conviction is operating when it comes to Yiras Hashem and when it comes to Nevuah, then the Emunah Nevuah is not correct. It's not steadfast. That's not the correct Emunah. See, the Emunah Nevuah has to be based upon reality, just as if scientists would confirm that this is true. So a person might not understand it, but his sense of reality vis-a-vis the phenomenon would be his conviction, would be a conviction based on Chachma, based on acceptance of Chachma. That's what the Rambam is really saying the Akedah was. The Akedah really set Yiras Hashem and Nevuah, Yesodei Hadas, it set them in on the proper framework of conviction for man. That the conviction for man should not be based on some kind of a mystical sense that these things are true. But the conviction should be that these are real and they're just as real as anything that the human mind would investigate and discover scientifically to be correct. You see? And that way, that is a genuine conviction. And that's what the Rambam is saying. That the only one that could give that conviction, convey that conviction to man, was the man of thought, the man of ideas, the man who discovered the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yichud Hashem. That individual, through his action, was able to demonstrate the correct conviction about what Yiras Hashem is and the correct frame of reference that a person should have and the nature of the conviction about Nevoah. That only he could do. And that is, and the Ram says, that's not a small thing. Yiras Hashem is not a small thing. See, that's Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a Moshe Rabbeinu said. So that's the whole essence of Kol HaTorah Kula. And those Yesodos, those two Yesodei Ados, the Yesod of Yiras Hashem and the Yesod of and the Yesod of Nevuah, could only be established by an individual. And that's what Rami means. And it was appropriate that it should be established by Avram, because he's the only one that could establish it, and he was able to establish it in his time. And we always go, and it should be Avram, because Avram Avinu plays an important role in our minds. Avram Avinu is after all the founder of the Yesodei Yesodos, of the Yesodei Yesodos, and everything is goes back to Avram. So he should be the one. We turn to Avram when we think about the whole source of our Amuna. He should be the one that should be, it should be a unified phenomenon. That he's not only the source of Yedias Hashem, but he is the same source of Yiras Hashem and the same source of the reality of Nevuah, which is the Yesod and Kol HaTorah Kula. You see, that's what the Rambam's saying, that it's appropriate because it's beneficial for us to have the ideas tied together, that the source of Yichud Hashem and Yesod Yesodos should also be tied, that same individual should also be tied with the idea of what real Yiras Hashem is and what the reality of Nevuah is. The foundation is the Yesod Yesodos. That's what the Rambam is saying that Kay does. Okay. Yes. Why he did it, I just want to answer that question. I mean, I can't, it's my opinion, I think this is the answer. I didn't see any reference to it. But, when he followed the Tzivi Hashem, he understood the Tzivi Hashem. In his mind, though, the Tzivi Hashem was, because, you see, he was known, like the Rambam explains in the Mar, he was known as a non-religious person, because he refused to abide by the ceremonies of the religions, and part of those ceremonies was out of fear for what might happen to them. They would sacrifice their children. So he taught that this is nonsense and pure imagination. So there was a criticism against him that perhaps he's a great philosopher simply because he doesn't have the ability to do what the religion demands. So the Tzivui Hashem of Kachnos Binchos Yechidcha to him was to demonstrate that he doesn't have that weakness, you see. So he thought it was he'd be Mikare Shem Shamayim for his door, you see. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not agree with that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to him that Tzivui is not for your door. Your door is not really significant enough. The Tzivui is Dori Doros for Klal Yisrael, the Akedah. So the Akedah really is a Kiddush Hashem LeDori Doros, that the Avram Avinu, who we look to as the one who discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the one that also set forth the idea of Yiras Hashem and the idea of Nevuah. So it was changed. It was Kiddush Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Kiddush Hashem LeDori Doros instead of the way he thought the Tzivu was for his door.
There's a Gemara that says that.
That's very good. Okay. Yeah, so he thought, so if Yitzchak would have really been an Ola, so then they would have known. Then they would have known, you see. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, Yitzchak is not going to be an Ola, and it doesn't matter what they say. What matters is that you are the foundation of the whole Dos, And the Akedah will always be the vehicle through which people understand the correct idea of Yiras Hashem and the correct idea of Nevoah. So it was really a Kiddushin with Dora Doros. Okay, yes. So Jeff's question, the question is, so why does the Rambam consider that fair? That an individual has to do that for others? Yeah, what's the answer? Avram Avinu's work was really Avas Hashem. And that's why he taught the true ideas to the Brios. So it's not that pain is intrinsically bad. That's not what the Rambam's saying. Rambam's saying it's wrong to say that God made a creature that in order to give him good, he has to give him pain. Yeah, he has to give him afflictions. But the pain that an individual experiences in exercising his bechira properly, that is not a defect, you see, in the individual. For instance, Lefum Tzair Agra, that on the contrary, that the like the Rambam says in Talmud Torah, he says Lefum Tzair Agra, is that a defect? No, that's not. Because in exercising one's bechira in his asiyas hamitzvos, that kind of a pain that's involved in that's bechira. That's part of the whole concept of bechira, you see. But to say that God just gives people afflictions, and when they don't deserve it, that's not correct, you see. But in the process of exercising one's bechira, attending pain is not an evil. That's a result of the nature of bechira, and that's intrinsic in the concept of bechira. You see, lefum tzaira agra. So why is that? Because if you understand bechira, you understand intrinsically it has to be that way. So really, what Avraham Avinu did was he was merely exercising his bechira in the furtherance of his avas Hashem, which was his life. So in the furtherance of perfection, that there's an attending pain, that's not considered. That's on the contrary, and his bechira recognizes that this is a reality, and he moves away from it, and therefore he goes towards the good, and he recognizes on the contrary he's the most fortunate individual. That pain is part of the whole system of bechira. That's not an evil. An evil is to say that a person is afflicted when he doesn't deserve it. An onesh, that's an evil. It would seem. I mean, I don't know proof. It would seem that it was more than just. That he has to, every Navi, when he has to do something, has to have a knowledge of the tzivui. I mean, like Avraham Avinu said, Chalilucha, Shevach Alas Leyasa Mishpat. I mean, Laham is Sadek in Rasha. Why is Yitzchak, why does he have to kill Yitzchak? I mean, it has to be some rational understanding of the mitzvah. I mean, let me make it clear. Avraham definitely holds that. That's what Avraham says openly. If there's a chait, then onish makes sense. But without chait, there's no onish. There's no, a person has no chait. And now, just to receive an onesh in order to go to a higher level. That the Rambam holds is absurd. So the Rambam opened up the whole idea of the Akedah in a completely different manner. And according to the Rambam, what did the Akedah demonstrate? The Akedah demonstrated that that Yiras Hashem is completely based on Chachmah. Because Avram was the person that was the Chacham Gadol, the greatest Chacham from all the Chachamim, and everything he did was only with Chachma. And he was the one that, with his same approach, he performed the most difficult task, which is to give up Yitzchak. So he showed the world that Yiras Hashem is simply a recognition of the reality of God's will, and there's no other emotion, no other type of accommodating feature necessary in man to do God's will, but simply Chachma. Okay. And then the Rambam says also that since he was the man of Chachma, so he also demonstrated that Nevuah is the same thing. That Nevuah is the same thing. Nevuah is nothing more than Chachma. And the person that performs an act according to a Mari HaNevuah is completely coherent. And that's why he had the 3 days. Those 3 days demonstrated that he had time to think it over. And everybody knew that he was the most intelligent person. And therefore, he certainly gave it all proper attention, proper thought. And as his usual derech was, to do everything according to Chachma. So therefore, there's no doubt that when the Navi receives something, the Mari HaNevuah, he has no doubt about it, and his intellect recognizes the truth of the Nevuah. Okay. All right. So two points. I mean, one point is that the only one that could demonstrate the true idea of Yiras Hashem is the person that is moved only by Chachma, nothing else. Like the Rambam says in Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva, that he does that which is right. He does the emes because it is emes, and for no other reason. And Avraham Avinu was that person. So since he was that person, he is the only one that was capable of demonstrating the idea, the concept, that Yiras Hashem is really simply based on Chachma. And there's no supernatural, no added feature in doing mitzvah Hashem, but a person does mitzvah Hashem simply because it's the emes and he knows it's true, and that's the only reason for a person to do it. So he was the only one that could really demonstrate what true Yiras Hashem is. And also, he was the only one that could demonstrate what Nevuah is. Because in the same manner, because the Torah did not want anyone to think that Nevuah is some kind of the person's overcome by some kind of a emotion, and that's why he follows the Nevuah. So that's what the Rambam says was 3 days, because the Torah wanted to show that if it was an instant reaction, so then you'd say he was overcome, you'd have a wrong idea of Nevuah. You think that Nevuah is the person is under some kind of emotional influence, and he simply has to react to the Nevuah. So that's what the Rambam explains, that keeping a Nevuah is not a reaction. Keeping a Nevuah is the same Chochmah that the person uses in every other sphere, but here he applies it to the receiving of this Nevuah, and he acts according to Chochmah, as he always does. There's nothing different. That's why the Rambam says 3 days, to show there was no emotion involved and it was clearly thought out. Okay, and the only one that could do it was Avram, because he was the man that was known to function only according to Chachma. And then the Rambam says a second, a counterpart to this idea. He says, and moreover, it was appropriate that Avraham Avinu should be the one, that he should be the one that brings these truths to the world. Because he was the one that was the source of the true idea of God, Yichud Hashem, that was his essence. He taught the world the true idea of God. And therefore, the one that taught everyone the true idea of God, and everybody turned to him to learn this great, important, most important of all the Yesod Yesodos, the most important Yesod, from this individual, so the other two ideas should be tied to him as well. Namely, the idea of Yiras Hashem, and also the truth of Nevuah. So that when a person should not think of Avram simply in terms of the metaphysical discoveries, without also tying to that the Yiras Hashem and the concept and the Yesod of Nevuah. The Yesod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menabe Es Bnei Adam. That should all be tied to the founder of the Yesod HaYesodos, the discoverer of the Yesod HaYesodos. That's what the Rambam says. It's an interesting thing that if you take a look in the And Sefer Bereishis, so you have in Chayei Sara. So the pasuk says by Avram when he instructed Eliezer. So he told him, he said, "Vashbiach about Hashem alakei Shemayim alakei Aretz." So Hashem will see Yechishel of Nim Nasa Kanai Hashem Nochi Yeshel Kibo Ki Al Aretzim Olarti Telech. So then the Eved says, maybe I'll find the right Isha, but she won't want to come back here. Be careful, Pentoshev has been Ishama. Okay? Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Hashem Kachanim Beisov Meretz Yisrael Malarti. Vashed dibuli vashed nishbali le malzach ha'etan yisrael says, who yishlach maloch lefonecho v'lakach to isha levni misham. So it was a tefillah, it was blushing tefillah, it wasn't a nevuah. Because then he says, v'im lo sova isha lelech asacharecho, v'im kiso mishvus, he says, rak es b'ni lo sasha yishama. So why was it that he wouldn't allow Yitzchak to go back to leave Eretz Yisrael, so to go back to his family. It's interesting, later, and he told us, so it says, Vayhi Rav Boretz, Novada Rav Rishon Ashoye B'me Avram, right? So Vayhi Lech Yisrael, Vayhi Melech Melech Bishm Gar, Vayoma Elov Arashem, Vayhi Olov Arashem, Vayoma Alter Mitzrayma, Shchon Boretz Ashomar Elecha. So Rashi says, Al Tered Mitzrayim, he says, Shehoya Daito Loretis Le Mitzrayim, Kemo Sheyored Ovid, B'nei Rav. Omar Lo Al Tered Mitzrayim, Sha'ata Ola Tmimo V'ein Chutz Loretz Kedai Loch. Right? So you have already this reason. So really, so why before did Avram say, Shamalacha Pentoshev as B'nei Shama? Rashi should have said over there. The reason is, because he's an Ola Tmimo and Ein Chutz Loretz Kedai Loch. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. You see. Rashi just mentions that later. Doesn't say that before. So the Ibn Ezra says beautifully. He says, Lo Soshev Shoma, Sheyamo Beres Yisrael, V'tam Lo Soshev Barvu Avroham, Shehu Hoika. That's what Ibn Ezra says. That the reason is because of Avram Avinu, because he was the Ikar. So it meant over there, what the whole purpose of Eretz Yisrael really was, living in Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz of the Avos, the Ikar of the Avos of Avram, B'chach Osman. And therefore the land has to be tied with this individual who was Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was Makar Kodesh Baruch on his own. And therefore he says, Yitzchak couldn't go back then, not because of himself, but because of Avram. You see? Because if Yitzchak, that's what the Ibn Ezra says, V'tam lo sasha bavu Avram. Because, in other words, he was Avram's son, and since he was his son, so it says, Rakas mini lo soshev shama. So the Ibn Ezra died. What does mean lo soshev? He was never there. You see? So lo soshev shama means because of Avram, because of Avram, that he shouldn't take him back. So he was a component of Avram. The reason why Yitzchak couldn't go back, because if Yitzchak went back, it would be like part of Avram returned. And Avram can't go back, because who ha'ikar? And the land has to be tied to Avram, essentially, and his offspring can't go back. See, Rashi's over there. Rashi says, Rak miyatu, b'ni yein achozer, aval Yaakov ben b'ni sof alachzer. That's okay. That's not a violation. That's not a problem. But the ben Avram can't go back. Later, Vahirov Baritzin told us, that was after Avram was Nifter, after his Petira. So then it wouldn't be a problem anymore for Yitzchak to go back because of Avram. Because Avram was Nifter. So then it was Yitzchak because of Yitzchak. So that's why Rashi says over there, for the first time, he says, Al Tered, God told him, Al Tered Mitzrayim. Because you're an Ola Tzmimah, V'ein Yichutz Loretz Kedai Lach. You see, that was because of Yitzchak Machmas Atzma, because Avram was already Nifter. But in the first situation with Eliezer and with Avram and Eliezer finding an isha for Yitzchak, over there that was before Yitzchak was on his own. That was Yitzchak as the son of Avram. As the son of Avram, he couldn't leave. So, but then after Avram was Nifter, so then he thought he could leave. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you can't leave, you still can't leave. Why? Because you're an Ola Tmimah of Ein Chutz La'aretz Kedai Lach. This is not for you. You have to stay in Eretz Yisrael.
The reason is to give us your Shema.
What?
The Torah gives the reason not to give back, not to give back.
What I'm saying is that as long as Avram was alive, so then his ben is an accident of him. So therefore, if his son goes back, it's as if he goes back. But after he's Nifter, that's not a problem anymore. So then it was a problem Machmas Atzma, because of Yitzchak himself. So that's why he told him for the first time, now you can't go for a different reason. Because Ein Chutz La'aretz Kedai Lach and you're an Ola Tmimah. But before he didn't say that reason. Otherwise Rashi said the reason right away. That the Ola Tmimah, the reason for Ola, you don't need a reason for Ola Tmimah if intrinsically he can't go back, because that's the whole purpose of Kum Misalech Boris Larko L'Rogba. So you don't need any other reason. So there's no need for another reason. So the reason is very simple, because Avram has to be there. But then when that reason was gone, that's an essential reason. When that reason was gone, now Yitzchak could leave. Now the question is it better for Yitzchak to leave or is it not better for Yitzchak to leave? So then the Nevuah came to him and told him, no, it's not good for you to leave because you're an Ola Tmimah. That's a secondary reason. It's not the same kind of reason. The first reason is an intrinsic reason, that the whole purpose of Avram and Eretz Yisrael is Kum Misalech Boros, that's Yerushas Haaretz, that's Eretz Avos. And Avram is the essence. So there's no need to have considerations whether it's better for Yitzchak to leave or not. You understand that that's a secondary type of consideration. So the primary consideration was first simply because Avram has to be in Eretz Yisrael, and if his son leaves, he's not in Eretz Yisrael. Part of him is not in Eretz Yisrael. So that would lack in Avram. But once Avram was Nifter, now it doesn't matter anymore. Now it's a separate question. Yitzchak wanted to leave. Why did he want to leave? Because he knew that he doesn't have to stay there anymore because of Avram, because Avram was Nifter. That was right after the Maisa with Yaakov and Esav, which was the Petira of Avram Avinu. That was the time Avram was Nifta. So that's when Esav Pagamidas Adimba also Zake. So it was the Avelusa of Avram Avinu. So right after Avelusa shall Avram Avinu, so then you had the incident of Erov Boretz. So Yitzchak knew that now he could leave. The there's no reason for him to stay because of Avram. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and told him, that's true, that reason isn't here anymore. But now there's another consideration. Where is it better for you? Is it better for you to stay here, or is it better for you to go there? He says, no, that's not, you could leave, but for you it's not good. Yaakov left. For Yaakov is okay. But for Yitzchak's personality, it wasn't good, because he was an Ola Tmimah and Ein Chutz La'aretz Kedai Lach. So that's a different kind of a reason. Do you understand? Okay.
Any question on that?
The idea of Ein Chutz La'aretz Kedai Lach, by the way, I mean, so of course, as much as possible, we can't starve in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's why that was one of the nisyonos that he left at first, because it was a rov. But insofar as he's able to stay there, he had to stay there. Okay. That's really the signal Advarim over here, because otherwise you should have mentioned right away he's an Ola Tmimah. Yeah. That's the Ibn Ezra. There's no other job. Okay. So you see, Avram Avinu was the one that was Koveya, the whole Kedusha Sa'aretz. So you see, the Kedusha Sa'aretz was tied not just to the not just to the Bris Avram, insofar as Avram was the discoverer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, the discoverer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But also because he established Yiras HaDeshem, and that idea is tied to him, the man of Chachma, and the man of Chachma Salakus, who did everything according to Chachma, was able to establish, he's the same one that we turn to as the model for Yedias Hashem, and for Yiras Hashem, and also for the Yisod of Nevuah. Because he showed that Nevuah is pure rationality, pure Chachma. That's the way the Navi reacts, not under any impulse or any emotion, but purely under Chachma. So the Yisodi Ados are all tied to him, you see. So that's why, and that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's why Chazal say, Kol Hador Be'eretz Yisrael, Kilu Yesh Lo Aloka. V'chol Hador B'chutz Loretz, Kilu Ein Lo Aloka. That's the meaning of the Chazal. The meaning of Chazal is based on the fact because Eretz Yisrael was Nikva through Avram Avinu, and with him is tied not just Yedias Hashem but Yiras Hashem, and Yiras Hashem and the Yisod of Nevuah, and the Shekadosh Baruch Hu Menabeis Bnei Adam. So the whole dust is wrapped up in Avram Avinu. So that, and the land is tied to Avram Avinu. That's why he couldn't leave, and that's why he couldn't even let Yitzchak leave Bechayav. Could not leave Bechayav, because that would detract from his presence in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Chazal say. Call a darbar circle yesh lo alaka, call a darbuchus loski lo ein lo alaka. Because Yiras Hashem is tied to Eretz Yisrael. Through whom? Through Avram Avinu. Okay. So the Rambam teaches us in the Akedah, really explains the parasha, but it explains something else also. You see, I mean, the Rambam really opened up a whole yisod with the Akedah, whole different yisod, that the conviction that we have, the convictions, the true ideas and the true convictions that we have about Yiras Hashem and about Nevuah were laid down by Avram Avinu. He was the only one that could accomplish that, and he was the one that should accomplish that. So now you see now you understand something else becomes clear also. Like we have a tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. So tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is Zichronos. So in Zichronos, in the end of Zichronos, when you sum up the Zichronos, say Zichrenu b'zikaron tov lefanecha, He says, "Usinaheg imanu b'midas arachamim, v'al tanaheg imanu b'midas adid." So that's basically what the tefillah is saying. That because of the akedah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be noheg with us in midas arachamim, and not in midas adid. So the question is, what does the akedah have to do with midas arachamim? Why the Akedah was a great mitzvah, but why does that, what, how is that tied to Midas HaRachman? Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be knowing Midas HaRachman. Say because of the Schus Avram, so that's Midas Chanon, really. That should be Midas Chanon, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were always mispal for Tachnunim, not Naschinon. We don't deserve it, but because of the Schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give it to us. That's Midas Chanon. But why Midas HaRachamim? But according to the Rambam, it's very well why it's Midas HaRachamim. Because it means like this. The Akedah, it doesn't mean the Kavash Rachma of Lasos Ritzon Chobolev of Sholem, that he rose higher to the occasion. That's not the way the Rambam understands the Akedah. Rambam says the Akedah was a demonstration, and he, because he was a chacham, so he showed that the conviction that one should have about Yiras Hashem is really a conviction of Chachma. And the conviction of Nevuah is a conviction of Chachma. So what the Tefillah has a different, the Rambam's Yisod in the Akedah, the whole Tefillah takes on a different meaning. What the Tefillah is saying is like this, that since we learn the Limud from Avraham Avinu, that Yiras Hashem is pure Chachma, so even though we're not on that level, but we know that it's so. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be knowing with us, b'midas harachamim, and allow us to rise to a higher level where we truly perceive it. You see, the Akedah cannot make a person into a Yorei or a Kim on the true level, like Avraham Avinu, where everything he does is because of the Emes, like the Rambam says in Hilchas Tshuva, that everything is because Avraham Avinu did because of the Emes, and for no other reason, no attending other emotions were involved. It was purely because of Chachma. That was his whole essence, and nothing meant anything. He never considered, I'll do this because if I don't do the mitzvah, then I'll be harmed. This was not a consideration for him. So the only reason he did it was purely because of Chachma. So if you see a great Chacham, like I mentioned on Thursday, that if a person, there's a difference in conviction when a person hears something is demonstrated by science, or when he hears that some individual, some philosopher or some mystic said something. Even though it may be true, what the mystic or the philosopher said, but when the person hears it scientifically proven, he has a different kind of conviction. So Avraham Avinu was the one that gave us that conviction, that it's Chachma, that real Chachma dictates that a person should be Yor Elokim. So that's why the Tefillah, when you mention the Akedah, and the Akedah is always mentioned because of Midas HaRachamim, it has a different meaning, according to the Rambam. And for instance, you mentioned the Akedah in the Tzlichas, you always mention the Akedah. Say, why? Midas HaRachamim. So Midas Chanon is Bris. Midas HaRachamim is for us. So according to the Rambam, you really understand how it's tied to the Midas HaRachamim. Because that's what we're saying. That the Kavash Rachma of Lasas Ritzoncho Belev of Sholem, that he demonstrated that rationality and Chachma dictates that one should serve God. So that demonstration, now we know that that's Emes. It's true that we're not on the level, we don't really understand we're not on the level to be Oved Meira, may not be on that level, like the Rambam says, a very high level. But we know that level exists, and the mere knowledge of the existence of that level and that truth, you see, is something which places us in a different position. And the position is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Merachem, should give us time to raise ourselves to a higher level where we could truly see Yiras Hashem, really gain the Chachma and understand truly why it is that way, like Avraham Avinu did. But meantime, right now, we have that conviction, you see. So according to the Rambam, really, the Yisod of the Akedah is a different Yisod, and explains the whenever we mention the Akedah, that's the idea, according to Rambam. That's the idea. It's a different concept. Okay. Yes. Racham has to do with our din directly. That's a racham. This is Nahig Imon, that's what the Rambam adds in the Rambam's Nusach. I don't think it's not that our Nusach differs, argues with that Nusach, it's just the Rambam's Nusach is more drawn out a little bit. But Ram says, this is Nahig Imon b'midas harachamim, baltis Nahig Imon b'midas harachamim. That's what Ram has in his Nusach on Rosh Hashanah, in Zichronos. He has that additional phrase. He expounds more on it. But that's the concept. Midas HaRachman means in our din. In our din, we should be Zohar to Midas HaRachman. Why? Because that's what we're saying. Because we know the truth. The thing is, to get there is our problem. But we know the truth, And because we know the truth, and we have our goal set on the truth, so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have rachamim on us. You see, that's really the idea. Whenever you have the Akeda, that's the idea according to the Rambam and the Tefillah. It's a different yesod, a different idea. Okay, it's not just a question of what an account that took place many years ago in the time of by Avram. It's something which is current in our lives, because the Akeda is current in our lives, and the whole concept of the Akeda and how we understand the Akeda depends on how we relate to the mentioning of the Akeda, depends on how we understand the Akeda. According to the Rambam, it's a different understanding, it is a different concept, and when we mention the Akeda, it's a different idea. Okay. I mean, that's why the minhag is to say it in tefillah every day, the Akeda, because Akeda is yesod nedos. That's correct. That's perfectly right. And that's why it's mentioned to say the Akeda every day, because the Akeda gives you the Yisod Nedos. Yisod Nedos of Yiras Hashem and Nevuah, Yisod Yados. And that's what the Rambam says. There was one thing that was bothering me. I see the Rambam, the importance is not to overlook what the Rambam says when he gives his introduction. You know, when he talks about the Akeda, so it sounds like when he's just saying things, but Ram doesn't just say things. So Rambam says, when he says, there's a couple of things I'd like to just expand on a little bit. And that is, he says that he had this, he was a person who did the ultimate sacrifice, which was even greater than being Moser his own nefesh, because his ava for Yitzchak was even greater than his own love for himself, because of the situation. And the Rambam explains because he was a riri, didn't have any children, betachlis hatshuka v'levlad, and he yearned for children. And then finally he says, this vlad came to him after he gave up already. After he gave up, he says, Heyoch yiu gagua volav avos oso. What kind of an ava would he have? And a love for this vlad. Ela she'etzel yiroso yisale, the avas kiu mitzvoso, heikal b'yel erachav vazer. So because of his love of God, and because of his desire, his love to mekayim the mitzvah, so even this was small to him. The hishlich kol ma shekiva bo, umir l'shachta l'acham alach kame yomim, because after his bonus, after he was able to think it over clearly, he says mitoch his bonus u'machshava nachona v'afchonas anmitas mitzvaso yisale v'yavaso v'yiraso v'she'ein roi l'schashir v'shum matzav achar. There shouldn't be any emotion, but just follow the truth. But it's interesting. See, he mentions, in the build-up, of course, the part about how he didn't have any children, and he desired to have a child, and then he had the child after he gave up, and he thought he'd never have a child. So, and now he has to give him up again. So that he mentioned. But there's one thing he does mention interesting that was bothering me last time, where he says, oh, Yodam Ariri, they didn't have any children, but Tachlis Hashukul of Lod, but he desired a child like on the most intense level. And then he says, Ubal Osher. He was a wealthy man, Unasiyas Ponim. And he was a recognized man. He was a Nirbat, a recognized man. V'choshuv be'enov. I really like over here the translation of Shmuel ibn Tibbon. I think it's much better. So you have to understand that Shmuel ibn Tibbon didn't translate literally. Kapach is a literal translation, but the Rambam wrote in his letter that in the translation you really can't translate literally from one language to another. You have to know the ideas. So the only one that can do a translation is one of those ideas. Shmuel ibn Tibbon, in my opinion, is much better. So, there's a tendency today to have to be very much sticklers on exactness of linguistics, but that's a big mistake. That's a scholar's error. That it's not the exactness of the language; it's the ideas. But the thing is, like I said, is I say, so you see, he mentions he's very wealthy and a siyas ponim, a very respected person. V'choshuv be'enav shetehei mizaro uma. I don't know if the exact translation is, but anyways, but it means that he knew that he would have from his nation, v'choshuv be'enav yilios mizaro uma, that a nation will emerge from his seed, from Yitzchak. So what is the importance of that? I mean, what do I care if he was wealthy? I mean, Avraham Avinu cared about his wealth. I mean, that was a big thing in his eyes. So what was the role of the wealth here? You see, I mean, that was what disturbed me. He's wealthy and he's respected. And respected. Well, he needs the respect. I mean, Avraham Avinu was Menochi off of Eifer. So he cared, people respected him. I mean, he gloried in the fact that people recognized him. This is important to him. I mean, this had no value to him. So why does the Rambam mention this over here? The Rambam mentions that part of the demonstration is the fact, I can understand the love of his child. That's a normal love, and it's something that was like we mentioned last time, was augmented by the fact that this child was not just a physical child, it was a metaphysical phenomenon. Tied to the whole, his whole concept of Avas Abrios and Dori Doros and Klal Yisrael, so the emotion was augmented, was augmented. That I understand. But what do I care if he's a Baal Osher, a wealthy man, a respected man? I mean, who cares? Why does Avram care about that? It's important to him. But I think the answer is that. A person, you see, when a perfected person does something, so the limud from his actions are on two levels. You see, the person who is the onlooker, the average person that benefits, doesn't necessarily know what the trials and tribulations of the great individual is, of Avraham Avinu was. He could have some insight. And the Rambam is showing that in the case of his child, where you could see the difficulty, the most powerful emotion. But sometimes the general perfection of the individual is a limud for the onlooker, you see. That and not in specific. In other words, the onlooker may value the fact that Avraham Avinu was a respected individual, and for a respected individual who his whole essence is to establish an ummah, to an onlooker would look like this would be a hard thing to suffer defeat and to lose the child, you see. So even though for Avram that wasn't an asayon because of his perfection, but still the action that he did for the observers nevertheless contributed to show, to demonstrate that nothing stands in the way of his chachma. So even for those who aren't on the level to perceive the true essence of Avraham Avinu, what an Avraham Avinu was, but still, for the onlooker, it was a great limud. You see, the truth of the matter is that was because of Avraham Avinu's perfection, so that wasn't something that he valued. But nevertheless, for the individual, for the observer, the observer sees that he gave up everything. Even, of course, an ordinary person would be moved by that, would say, look, he had Osher and he had recognition, and now his whole recognition is going to fail because Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zara, and the whole world knew about this, and now he's Now he fails. So even though many times the perfected individual who's Omei B'Nisayon, to him certain aspects of the Nisayon may not necessarily be really part of his trial and tribulations. But nevertheless, he still is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, even for the onlooker who doesn't perceive the greatness of the individual, but nevertheless learns a limud that nothing stands in the way of Yiras Hashem, and which is determined completely by Chochmah. That's what I think the Rambam means. Not that for Avram it was really important, but for the average person that is an important thing. So the average person would say, look, even this powerful force, emotional force, that you're respected, you're wealthy, you're respected, and success is in your hands, and now you totally fail. The average person would consider that a tremendous design. So just because for Avram Avinu, because of his godless ha'odam, that was not in specific a Nisayan, doesn't detract from the Kiddush Hashem, you see, that he brought about through his action. And that is also attributed to him. You see, that is also attributed to him. In terms of his act of Kiddush Hashem, that's also part of his Kiddush Hashem. Even though for him that was nothing, because he didn't value that, but nevertheless, it is a component of the Kiddush Hashem. Because the average person says, look, he gave up success. Success is the hardest thing. One of the hardest things for a person to face is failure. But he was willing to face failure because of Yiras Hashem, because of the rationality of Yiras Hashem. So even though because of his perfection, that wasn't personally anything that was difficult for him to give up, because he didn't value it intrinsically. But nevertheless, in terms of the Kiddush Hashem, it doesn't take away from the Kiddush Hashem that he creates because of that. Sometimes the Kiddush Hashem comes about indirectly, because the person happens to be on a high level, so because of that, others who can't perceive his level learn a truth, which is that even that a person must give up, you see, which to them is of great value. But the fact is that the Odom HaSholem, who's Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, he's Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in many ways. And even though for him it may not be a difficult thing, but nevertheless, for the onlooker, in the eyes of the onlooker learns a limud. The limud, he's mistaken, because he thinks it's from this in specific. The truth is, it's from his perfection in general. But that doesn't matter, but it's still Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. See, that's what the Rambam means. Okay, so but it's a limud in general for Kiddush Hashem, which means that if a person is Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, he's Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in more ways than he even knows, because for him he looks in terms of the struggle, but if he's a perfected individual, there are many other things that result from the Kiddush Shema Gadol, which might not necessarily be a difficult thing for him. But nevertheless, this idea, the onlooker sees this idea and gains in terms of his own perfection. Okay, that's what I think the Rambam is saying. It's the Yesod in Kiddush Hashem. Yes. He didn't. I mean, that's the old question. I mean, Rambam Avinu didn't doubt Valei Lola. What's going to be Kiddush Yisrael Kol Chazara? He didn't understand it. But the details a person doesn't have knowledge of. Details of how and of who is the sky, a person doesn't have knowledge of. Or even what the words of the Nevuah exactly mean, where it's a Nevuah la'osid, we don't know. And it's using a Nevuah la'osid in a tzivoy. Tzivoy, halei la'ola, that's a tzivoy. But a Nevuah la'osid, mashe yiyah, we don't know. Because that's why the Rambam explains that by the Bris Ben Avsaron, that they couldn't, even though they had the Nevuah, but they misinterpreted the Nevuah, because that's a hard thing. So Avraham Avinu didn't understand what exactly a Nevuah lost it is different than a Tzivui. A Tzivui is due, kach v'kach. A Nevuah lost it is It's hard for a human being to he knew that was something for the Israel. He didn't know exactly what it meant. He couldn't interpret it, but it doesn't mean it had no meaning. It could have meaning in different ways. Okay, I don't want to go into possibilities, but I'm just saying that a nevuah loss is something is different, which is chachmas Hashem, which you don't know exactly what the meaning and how it's going to be expressed. Okay. Pasuk says, Bincha Yechidcha Sha'afta. Of course he had Ava for his son. I mean, that's a normal thing.
Saying that was part of the Nisar.
Okay. But the Osher, the Pasuk doesn't mention anything about the Osher. The Osher is just something that's a side thing. Like I said, with Ram, I mean, the wealth is one thing, then respectability is another component, and then to be the progenitor of a great nation, that clinches the whole picture of the most successful person possible. And now when he loses that, the success is gone. It's a breakdown. It's like, that's it. I mean, the Ram saying was that he had the whole aura was there. And now it was broken. Because Yitzchak is going to die, and that's it. That whole image and that whole picture was broken. So that's what the Rambam says. That was a part of the Kiddush Hashem that people saw. They said, "Look at that! You see, Chachma dictates to give up everything, and he lost everything, and he was willing to do it." Yeah. I mean, Vayashkem Avram Baboker is right, but if it was just that way, people would say it was just an emotional reaction. So Avram Vin didn't need 3 days, but the world needed 3 days in order to ascertain that Avram acted purely out of chachma. Yes.
That's a question.
All right. Ellie asked a question last time. Good question. The question was a psychological question. Why is it that the Rambam says that it was so hard for him to give up Yitzchak? Why? Because he longed for Yitzchak. He waited for him, and the Rambam puts in, and he gave up. He gave up hope already. And now he received Yitzchak. Now he got Yitzchak, and now that's the hardest thing to accomplish, to do. Most difficult. More difficult than it would have been if he just would have had a son. You see. So I was thinking about it. I see the idea is that the difficulty is because it's twice mourning. You see. Twice mourning. In other words, he wanted it, and then he gave it up, which means when a person longs for something with the most intense emotions, and then they give it up, it means they go through a mourning process. Once they go through that once, they don't want to go through it again. And my son mentioned to me that's really the Isha Hashanamas. That's correct. That's really the Isha Hashanamas. And according to the Rambam, the Haftorah really, why is the Haftorah Vayera the Isha Hashanamas? It's more to it than just because it's a case of that she received the bain. Yeah, that she received the bain. Or, yeah, I know. Okay, Melchim Bey's Dal. So it was more than just the fact that she received the bane and so received the bane. It's really, according to the Rambam, it's far deeper. That was exactly what happened with the Isha Hashanamas. Because you see, the moment when Elisha said to her, that malasos loch. So she said nothing. I don't need any political help. So then he asked, Elisha's malasos loch. Yom gefs aval bein ein lo, v'isha zokein. So then vayikrolo v'tama pesko v'yom lamoy dezeh keis chayatcha v'kes bein. V'toma, what was her reaction? So Elisha said, you're going to have a child. Her reaction was, Al Adoni Isha Olakim, Al Techazev B'Shev Chosecha. Al Techazev B'Shev Chosecha. Rashi's, what does Techazev mean? Kmo Lo Yichzevu Meimav. It means a well the water doesn't seep out. You see? So it means to say, a bad well, So it's for a while, it's okay, but then the water drips out. So al techazeg b'shefcha sacha. So she said, don't give me a child that's not a ben kayama. She's not a ben kayama. So why did she say that? Why was that her reaction? A normal person wouldn't react that way, wouldn't think about that. So, oh, wonderful. But the answer is because they were old, she was either her husband was old, and she already longed for a bane, and she gave up. And since she gave up, so the moment she heard of a bane, she right away thought that the suffering that she went through in the mourning process of never having a child was always before her. And when she heard she's going to have a child, right away she thought of mourning. So she said, don't put me through a situation like, wonderful, you're going to give me a bracha, but the thing I can't do is go through another mourning process. That was her reaction. That was her reaction. So, and then later you see that when she came, when the bane died, so it says, interesting, Radak says, why? One of the first Rashi's, he said, why did he push away? Bavur Kvoda, one of the first Rashi's, Shelo Tishak Ragle Anavi. It's not for her own covet. Well, why they pushed away? They shouldn't kiss the feet of the Navi. But the Navi said, so it says, Vayoma Ishal Akim Harpe Lo, Ki Nafsha Moro Lo, Varashem Helimi Meni Velo Higidli. So the plain shot in the pasuk is, how do you know? You see? But the Gehazi didn't realize. But he knew, because he remembered when he told her about the bane, that this was the one thing that she couldn't face. And when he saw that she came and grabbed his feet, and he knew that that must have been what happened. That's how he deduced it. See, that was her greatest fear. He knew her, and he knew there's only one thing that could put her into that state. You see. So, and that's actually what I'm saying. Shalti vei me'esadoni, halo amati lo sashla osi. Lo sashla osi. Halo amati. Rashi says, halo amati lo hal t'chaze b'shif chasach. Lo sashla. Lo sasa lo sishge osi al dvar tos. Lo sashla. Plain lo sashla means don't make a muscle out of me. People talk about it. But she also understood that, she also understood something else. She understood also that she didn't want, she was a big chachoma, and she knew that the Ish HaLakim comes to her house, and she made a place for him, so she thought that maybe she'll have a bane, it'll be because of the Ish HaLakim, for the covet of the Ish HaLakim. You see, so if it's for the covet for the Ish HaLakim, so then there's no guarantee for her. So she also realized that that's why she said, "Lo sashla osi, don't use me as a marshal in both ways. I shouldn't be used for the Ish HaLakim, for the covet of the Ish HaLakim, and for me, I'll wind up as a I'll just be used as a tool." You see, "Lo sashla osi." Don't use me as a tool for the covet of the Navi. So if you're going to give me a bane, it should be for me, a bane kayama, and I shouldn't have to face the greatest fear that she had, which was to go through the mourning process twice. An interesting thing. See, but that's how we knew right away when he saw it. So but interesting is just I was going to say. Hold Vasil Yodan Neima Bamilsa. That interesting is the next few psukim over here. Now you see that what happened with the with Gehazi, that first it didn't work. Because first the Navi told her. He said that. Elisha said, that Vayomer Gechzi Chagom Osnecha Vakach Mishanti Viyotcha Valech Ki Simtzu Yishlos Vachenu Yichi Vavarecho Yishlos Anel Vesamto Mishanti Al Pnei Anoa. First he said, just put the staff on the Nar. So, but it didn't work. Because it says V'gechz yovel l'fnei v'yosmas v'mashenas apnei anav ein kol v'ein koshev v'yoshev l'krosa v'yagad l'omo lo heikitz anor. So Rashi explains why. He says lo sishal l'shalom v'chol zeh. What's why can't he say lo anybody shelo yarbe dvorim v'yishalu l'heichan atoholech v'hu omer l'ach yosas ameis. I'm going on this mission to be Mechayim Mason. The ain't a cover a nace less halalbo. Less halalbo. It is not a cover a nace to be mishalel in the nace. Misha bo'al yodo. That a person, that a nace is bo'al yodo, it is not the cover of the nace to be mishalel the nace. Vulo osakein, elachola sholo omer, rebi shlochani lachias a nace. So that's why it didn't work. You see, it's really a yesod in, it's a yesod in the vor. I mean, the purpose of learning in the Nevi'im is really because you have the Yesod Yadas, a taught in the Navi. But what is the Yesod really? The Yesod is, then Elisha had to come himself, you see. Because the way the Nace works is through the performer. See, the Nace works through the performer. It's like the Rambam explains in Hashgacha, how Hashgacha works. Yashkocha works through the individual, through his Tselem Olekim, he has a relatedness to the Yashkocha. And that's why the Nes takes place. So really, the moment, so over here, Gehazi was really an extension of Elisha in the performance of the Nes. And the moment he used the Nes for his own kavod, so he lost it. It was lost. Because then the perfection was gone. And the only way the Nes, that's why the Rambam mentions in the Ibn Ezra, HaNisim Shenaso L'Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. Only Moshe Rabbeinu can do these Nesim. Nobody else. Because the Nes takes place, and the Ashgacha takes place through the connection between the Odom HaSholeim and the Ashgacha. So over here, when the moment Gehazi did that, he completely reduced himself to the mundane, and that was out of the realm of, that was out of, then the Ashgacha didn't work. You see, then Elisha had to come himself. That's one yesod you see from this parsha. But there's another one also in the end, because it says, "Vayavo Elisha baisa v'ne'ana meis muskav al mitaso." And they said, "Vayavo yisgadel bachnei vayispalo al Hashem." Again, vayispalo al Hashem. Because the nace only takes place through the individual who's perfected and is related to the Ashgacha through a Tzelem Elokim. And tefillah is the metaphysical activity. Then it says, Vayal vayishka valayeled vayosan piv al piv ve'enov al enov v'chapov al kapov vayighar alov. And he stretched himself out on him. Vayochom besar hayoled. So what did he need to do that for? What did he do? And he did it many times. Vayosha vayelech v'achaseino v'achaseino v'yal v'yigar alav. It's mashma from Pasuk that he walked up and back to increase the warmth in his own body. Vayar v'yal v'yigar alav. Then it says v'yizor hanar achev apomen. He coughed and he came to life. Sneezed, coughed. So the Radak says, why? He says, he mentions like this. He says, "Ki rov anisim." He says like this. He says, "Ve'efshe." He says, "Yeah." He says, "L'hanshim alana l'chamamo b'chol mativi," to warm him up normally, naturally. He says, "Chol mativi," the natural heat. Hayotze mipiv u'me'enov. Ki rov anisim nasim im ma'at tachbula miderech ha'olam. See. That's the Yesod and Nisim. Another Yesod and Nisim. That you see, the Nes was done, but it had to be done within the normal frame of reference. In other words, that he physically warmed up the goof of the elephant, and it couldn't be done just like that. Why? Because the Radak says, because that's the way Nisim work. The Ramban says that, that it always operates within the framework of the tivi, of the natural, within the framework of the natural. But why should that be, really? I mean, what's the reason for that? See, what's the reason for that?
So we can relate to it in a certain sense. If it's too supernatural, maybe it's just like...
Because the reason is, because, you see, for most people, people are looking for, the idea of an ace is wrong, because they're looking for something other. For them, the natural law is an enemy, and the supernatural law is a friend, you see? That's the way people think of it. But in Yahadis, that's clear. Because the natural laws in the Borei Olam. And Hashgachas in the Borei Olam. So in the Nes, we don't attempt to escape the natural law. That's the Yesod in our Torah. So we don't look at the natural law as an enemy. We're trying to fly off into a world of the supernatural. That's fantasy. That's Derech Avodah Zarah. See? But for us, the natural law is Maaseh Hashem. So on the contrary, the Maaseh Hashem is an ally. It's an ally. And we don't look for it. We don't look for anything beyond, unless it's Tzorach HaAdam, it's an HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ashgacha sees that it must be done. So then you could have an ace. But an ace is not an attempt to flee reality. It's not an attempt to flee reality. Like the Derech Avodah Zarah and the Umos Olam. Where to them, they would love that there should be no natural law and there should be only the supernatural. You see? That's Kenegat Kol HaTorah Kulo. That's Kenegat Kol HaTorah. It's the Yesod in Torah. The Navi teaches the Yesod in Torah. That in our system, no, we love the Derech HaTorah. Because it's all Maaseh. Marab Maaseh HaRashem Kulam B'chach Maaseh. We love Derech HaTeva. Sometimes, because of certain situations, if we're roy for an ace, so we're happy. But the truth of the matter is, we'd be happier if we didn't need an ace. We didn't need an ace. So that's why we minimize the ace, and we augment the natural law, because the natural law is the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Malchus HaBakol Mashallah. That's the that's on the contrary. That's the Yesod in our dust. It's the Yesod in our dust. That we don't try to escape reality. Derech of the Goyim and the Derech of the Umos Olam is to, if they could flee, if they can get rid of all laws of nature and just flee into the world of the supernatural, they'd love it. For us, that's a denial of Bracious Borla Kimas Hashemayim Vesaretz. So that's why, that's really what the Navi, that's really why Elisha had to do it in that manner. He showed in that manner, Yesod on Adas. Yes.
So why did he even attempt to send Gehazi?
It would have worked.
How?
It would have worked. He knew that it would work. I mean, It could be that he had to react immediately, because the longer you wait, the more the body cools and the more difficult it is. So it could be that that's why originally he sent the Mashanas, because that would have been less of an ace, because of the time factor, the time element. But then when he was there ready, so it was necessary to do it this way. Okay, good question. It was immediate, so it wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. It was, yes. That's correct. The Rambam, The Rambam mentions by the Akedah that he says, what's his lesson over there? Where he says that, just give me 1 minute. The Rambam says, what did he show? He showed that that he that he had presence of thought, and he says, and he did it. He didn't do it out of any fear. That since Abraham did not hasten to kill Isaac out of fear that God might slay him or make him poor, but solely because it is man's duty to love and to fear God, even without hope of reward or fear of punishment. Okay, that's what the Rambam. That's how he summarizes the whole limud of the Akedah. And so what is that? What is the Rambam saying in that sentence where he summarizes it? See, what he's saying is like this. It's a deep idea he's saying over there too. He's saying that the Derech HaTorah is the opposite of the Derech Avodah Zarah. In the Derech Avodah Zarah, a person creates a world for himself in order to protect himself from certain fears that he has, or in order to gain certain things that he desires. So he makes up a fantasy world, and he feels secure with his fantasy, of course, unless something breaks it, unless reality breaks it. But the Derech Avodah Zarah is really an escape from reality, And that's why it's tied to doing things that prevent the happenings of certain things that the individual fears, and also to bring about certain things they desire. See, that's what the Rambam is saying over here. He says that Avraham Avinu showed that a person has to serve God just because it's true. And even though what he wants he won't have, and even though his greatest fear might be realized, you see. Because in Yadus, what is the whole essence of Yadus? The essence of Yadus is to face the reality that God presents before us. That's really the essence of Yadus. The Derech Avodah Zarah is the exact opposite. It's to make your own world where you're safe. You see? Not to accept reality. So Yahadus is really, that's what the Rambam means by that statement. That Yahadus is really the acceptance of reality. What is the reality? The reality that God presents before us. And that's really what the Akedah showed. Because in the Akedah, Avraham Avinu showed that even though the most bleak reality was what he was given, but nevertheless, he demonstrated that he accepts the reality. The only one that lives in reality is the Oved Hashem. Others don't live in reality and try to manufacture their own reality. And that's really the Derech Avodah Zarah. That's really the limud. That's really an important concept, the aspect of the limud of the Akedah. That's why one atheist one time mentioned, he says that religious people are in a strange contradiction. He says because they become religious in order to avoid certain harm. But then when something bad happens, they say they accept the will of God. So they said, but that's why they were religious to begin with, was to avoid this thing. So it's a contradiction, you see. And he's right, that in the Umos HaOlam, it's Derech Avodah Zarah. And that's why they're motivated by the desire to escape from reality and to create their own reality. Ki b'shiris libi eilech, you see. The person shalom liyeli, ki b'shiris libi eilech. That's really the cry of the Oved Avodah Zarah, that he worked out a way where he's going to have shalom liyeli, ki b'shiris libi eilech. But he can't face the reality. Of course, he can't give it up. So then when something bad happens, so then he says he's going to accept it. Why? Because he really can never give it up. And it's really a contradiction. And the atheist's question was correct. But in Yadus, it's a different concept, a different idea. And that's what Avraham Avinu showed by the Akedah. It's Yadus is the recognition, Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and recognition through Avas Hashem that we have to accept the reality that God places before us. And the Akedah is the Avraham Avinu is the man of reality. And the true individual, that's Ohev Hashem, doesn't have in mind at all. It's not a consideration for him. The events that will happen are no consideration. The only consideration is that MS, and then he follows it. It's Sheker, he doesn't. So the limud of the Akedah is a deep limud. It's really that thing that the Rambam just mentions in one statement is really hits upon the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. That the one that faces reality, the individual that really faces reality, is the Oved Hashem. Is the only individual facing reality. Others try to escape reality. But the Akedah teaches man to face reality and live in accordance with Chachmas Hashem and with the events that HaKadosh Baruch Hu places before the individual. Not out of a desire. He doesn't look for it. He's not motivated by any desire to change it and to escape. Like we mentioned before, to escape from the laws of nature, to escape from reality. On the contrary, all reality manifests. Hashemayim Esapim Kvod Keil, and it's makariv the person to occupy. It's a completely opposite derech, completely opposite. That's why Chazal say that Kol Kofer Ba'Avodah Zarah Kilo Moda B'Chol HaTorah Kula, and vice versa, because the two ways are completely opposite. And Avraham Avinu is really the one that's the ochre of Avodah Zarah, and the one that taught us the true derech, the true ideas, and the whole system and the whole derech HaChaim is therefore tied to him. Okay.